Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for our consideration for this chapel devotion, we read the words of Isaiah in chapter 55. We read verses 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. These are the words of our Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, strengthen our faith through the truth. Sanctify us through the truth, and these your words are the truth. Now I ask that the words from my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, that all these be pleasing before you. O Lord, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. This last year, we set up a garden in my backyard. It's right up against the neighbor's fence. And it was sort of my wife's project. This is a small little hobby garden. And I told her I'd help out with things now and then. And then towards the end, or to help her with a new set of planting that we went to do, I went to go till up the garden, and I found out that my wife had lined it with rocks inside the garden in order to separate the different plants, and she said it was partially to decorate it too, because she thought it would look nice, which is a different way to do gardening than I was anticipating, but it works for her. And so I kind of said, well, Court, you know, this is great. This is a fun project for you and the kids, and I'll let you handle it, and good for you. Now, with it being right on the side of the fence, the neighbor next door, his name is Steve. He's a guy who's probably in his early 60s, semi-retired, always has his AC/DC or Led Zeppelin t-shirts. And he loves to be out and just sort of be busy, and he's always spraying his yard. And since our garden is right against the fence that's right next to his yard, when I come out early in the mornings before I go over to church or before I go over to exercise, Steve's always out there, and Steve is graciously not only spraying his plants, but he also is spraying our garden. He always tells me, "Oh, Noah, you gotta spray the garden, Noah. Every day, Noah, if you want those plants to grow, you gotta spray the garden." And I thank Steve for the work that he does, and I'm pretty sure that half the reason we had anything growing in our garden, the small amount of vegetables that we have, was due to Steve and his application of water to our garden. In our text for today, God, speaking to the prophet Isaiah, is making the comparison of his word to that of the waters, the snows that come down from heaven, the rain that do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. And in the land of Canaan, they were very reliant upon the waters that would come down. They didn't have a Nile River that was always full. They didn't have a Mankato River or Mississippi. But the Jordan River that ran from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea was very much dependent on the rains that were coming down. You know, think back in the Old Testament, the times in which you would hear about the droughts or the famines that would come. Like Joseph's father, when they had to come then to Egypt because there was no food in the land. That's because of a drought that had taken place. Or in the time of Elijah, 3.5-year drought that took place. In the time of Elisha, 7-year drought. So they were very dependent. They understood that the rain from heaven meant life. And in the same way, the word of God also means spiritual life. Without the word of God, there is drought. There is death. We are dependent upon it. And in a similar way to the rains that come down from heaven, we are dependent upon it. And it's not ours just to finagle or try to work into the situations how we want it to be. We have to let God's word speak for itself, right? We're called upon to teach and preach the full counsel of God. And when people start to get into these situations in church bodies when they think they need to add something to the word of God, or they think they need to detract something to the word of God in order to make it more easier for people to swallow or more relatable. And we want the word of God, of course, to be relatable, but if you think that you can change the word of God to somehow make it more efficacious, churches again and again, church bodies again and again get themselves into trouble and they come up with sparkle creeds or who knows what else, right? It's just, it doesn't work out well. It's not the way that God has things set up and planned. When you hear these words, the rain and snow that come down from heaven, I've always thought of it in terms of, well, the gospel showers down from heaven, and it's going to sometimes be in one area, or it's going to be more so in another area. And you think of maybe the church is growing in certain areas, and a crazy and wonderful thing is, too, that Christianity is growing. Christianity isn't dying worldwide. The numbers are continuing to increase. But it's the work that's going on in Asia and sub-Saharan Africa that our synod is also involved in, praise be to God, that this we're seeing the way in which the Word of God is continuing to grow and work. But a way in which the Word of God is slightly different, I have to be careful with this, but it's slightly different for us than for the apostles in the New Testament, or sometimes even with the Old Testament prophets who would come forth, is we don't have to wait for the Word of God to come down in random times, in random dispensations, so to speak. You know, we have the Word of God with us. And the Word of God still has those amazing promises that we can cling to, that it will not return to God empty, but will accomplish, as God says, what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, who knows what the future holds for North America or the United States? But God's word and God's promises will always hold true. Always will hold true. And that's a wonderful comfort for us. And in terms of applying the word of God to different situations, just to have it and be ready with it. It doesn't have to be anything super grandiose, but when you're interacting with someone else and you're trying to witness the Christian faith, just having little phrases, praise God that happened, or well, Jesus loves you, or the idea God desires for all people to be saved, but Jesus is the way, the truth. Little, it doesn't have to be over the top and grandiose, the way in which we present the Word of God into different situations as you're trying to witness Christ, because we know that the power is in the Word. And what a comfort that is, that we have it at our fingertips. We have it on a daily basis. That Word of God that has shifted and changed the course of human events, that is so powerful, that it's brought down nations and caused entire kingdoms to fall to their knees, declaring that Jesus is Lord, and still goes out and is shaping and changing the world today. And we have that. And you have that. I've always thought of this text here in Isaiah 55 with comparing the Word of God to the rain and snow that come down from heaven in terms of conversion, reaching the lost. Maybe you have too. And that's, of course, certainly true that, well, wherever the Word of God is, that it will be working on people. And we don't know what the Word of God is going to do in terms of the way in which we witness to people. But one thing I do guarantee you is if you aren't speaking the Word of God, it won't be witnessing, right? But not only to think of this section too, of God looking to accomplish the purpose for which he sends out the Word of God, in terms of all those people out there, and that's good, we should always be outreach-minded, certainly. But then knowing that when I apply that same Word of God to me, I have those same promises. That God says to me that it's not going to return to him empty, but it's going to accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. And that's because, well, what is the Word of God? Jesus in John chapter 5 was talking to the scribes, that you search the Word of God, but in them is me. Jesus is the Word of God. Or when Paul is talking to Timothy, he says, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Or John chapter 1, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word that we have is nothing less than Jesus. And it comes and is applied again and again to our lives, to you and to me. And what does it bring you? It brings you life. It brings you salvation. It restores you. It forgives you. It comforts you and assures you of God's love and his grace. And because Christ went on the cross, and when the rest of the world was mocking him, saying, if you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. What kept him up there weren't the nails, but it was his love for you. So your sins could be forgiven and taken away as far as the east is from the west. And so that way you can have those two great comforts that we have in Romans chapter 8. That there is now in Christ no condemnation. And in Christ there is no separation. And that's the word of God that comes to you and works on you, on me again and again. And he gives you that promise too, that he's going to accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. And what's that going to be for you? Well, first of all, it's going to be forgiveness and life and salvation, of course. The beautiful thing with the word of God and with Christianity and our faith in general is God, he'll take you any way you are, right? You come and confess. He'll take you whatever way you are. But he's never okay with just leaving you the way you are. He's always working on us. He's always conforming us according to his will. And so what's that going to be as the word of God comes and works on you or me? Maybe one of you will be the next Martin Luther, Saint Augustine, next Joan of Arc, who knows? Or maybe the word of God will come and work on you and make you just a little bit of a better friend, better father or mother, probably for many, maybe in the future. Work to instill in you the fruits of the Spirit a little bit more, putting away the works of the flesh. It's a wonderful thing. And the beautiful thing is, too, for each and every one of you, it's going to look different from one person to the next. But God didn't want everyone to all be conformity in terms of the way in which the body of Christ is built up. And what a wonderful promise that we have there. But you can be assured that when God's word is being applied, when God's word is going out, hold on to that promise, that it will not return back to God void, but will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it in you. It brings you life, it brings you salvation. And day by day, as you go in your studies and in your devotional life, and hear what a wonderful blessing that you have to come to chapel on a day-to-day basis, it works and it shapes you and it changes you. As I know, it certainly changed me. When I started off here at Bethany, my freshman and sophomore year, not many people would have guessed that I would have become a pastor, and even I'm surprised by it too sometimes. But God's word works and changes people, and what a wonderful blessing that is, that God continues to take you and shape you and change you and bring you closer in conformity of his will. So be in the word. Read it, learn it, and really digest it. Have it be a part of your life. Because it is the life-bringing rain and snow sent down from heaven. It is Jesus himself. And God will cause what fruits he wills to be drawn forth in your life. Redeeming you, sanctifying you, accomplishing his purpose. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.